Well, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us here at Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is the Honorable District Elder Johnny Magnus. Please enjoy the wonderful Word of God. God bless you.
Drawn late, and we thank the Lord for Sister Pastor Elder Gentry. Amen. I kind of took over this morning. He was on the schedule, but he has basically been out of it for about 3 days after suffering some dehydration situations at his job. Talked to him this morning back in the office, and I can tell he's still a little bit weak, amen. And so he didn't know until he got the text this morning that he was a speaker today, because he's been out of it, amen. And so I said, well, I'll be ready if you're not. And of course, I can't start looking at the Word of God and not only be ready, but get fired up, amen. So at some point, I texted him, I said, you relax, I got it, amen. So I don't know if that's me just worrying about his health or me just getting fired up and want to take his place today, amen. But God is so good, amen. We'll hear back from Elder Gentry real soon. I'm just glad to see him. A lot of places of employment are only interested in production, amen. And we've got to find a way to make sure we take care of ourselves in spite of those places, amen. And we thank the Lord for our First Lady. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise for the First Lady. You got a First Lady second to none, because anytime we pray, she is calling your name out. Amen. I call your name out, but she calls your name out also. And not just when we have the Friday night prayer, she's asking questions. Have you heard from Sister So-and-so? Have you heard from Brother So-and-so? You are impressed upon her brain, her spirit. And I think that's a wonderful thing when you have First Lady thinking about you like that and praying for you. Come on and give the Lord some hand praise. Thank you, Lord, for our other sister pastor, Deacon Don Butcher. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise for him. Well, it's no small thing that you come in. Lights ain't never been off. Amen. Air conditioning is rolling. Amen. Air conditioning don't get work because you just turn the switch on. But sometimes you got to have repairmen to come out and somebody to meet them. Amen. There's a lot of things that go into even a small church like ours to make it continue to function. And I'm telling you, your Elder Gentry and your Deacon Don, along with Deacon Collis and the other ministers and various other different ones, they're making things happen. Come on and shout hallelujah. So I'm not going to take a lot of time and call everybody's name, but I like coming in and seeing cleanup has been done. And still, ain't nobody left a note and said, we the ones that cleaned up. But thank you anyway, Sister Vicki and the Jones family. Come on and shout hallelujah. I like how they're one do all do family. If you see one of them, you see all of them. Amen. And they are helpers one to another. That type of unity is what the church needs to learn. Amen. If we're in it singularly, we're in it collectively. If we're in it by two, we're in it by five. If we're in it by five, we're in it by 20. Come on, somebody. Let's go to the Word of the Lord found in the book of Daniel, the 3rd chapter, verses 17 and 18. 17 and 18 may not be as familiar to you as the other ones, but the later on verses everybody is so familiar with. But verses 17 and 18, and I want to point out to you, we love to talk about the Hebrew boys and the way they dealt with going through the fire furnace. But if you were to back up to the 1st chapter of Daniel, you would see that they are fasting, they are serving the Lord, they are doing what it takes to serve the Lord. Too many of us are looking at the big picture of how we're going to get our name in neon lights, and everybody's going to use us as a testimony of the greatness of God through us. But we don't want to back up and do the basic things. Fasting, prayer, meditating upon the Word of God, abstaining from fleshly and sinful lust. Amen. the only way that you are going to be somebody that leaves an impression on this world in a great way is to be somebody that the world don't see your sacrifice that you are giving to the Lord, the decisions that you are making, the lifestyle change that you are making in order to be connected to God. So before we read about them, please understand they did all of these things. In verse 17 of Daniel, the third chapter, it says, if it be so, will y'all read with me? We have it up here, don't we? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The theme today is, if not. Look at somebody and tell them, if not. Let me read this introduction I have here. There is a determination that must be held by the believer in Christ that will not waver for any cause. Too often the believer wavers because of perceived unanswered prayers. Sometimes we attempt to dictate to God what the result should be, but also not only what the result should be, but also the method of obtaining that result. To really know God is to know He is God. He does not answer to us, but He answers us. God is all power, but His power is His to do with as He desires. We cannot assume the thought that God's power exists for our personal imaginations. For the power of God in us, the Holy Ghost, exists to bring us into the mind of God, not to bring God into our thinking. We are after one thing, eternal life with God. To obtain it, there are things we must shed. And there are things, while not sinful to have or to hold, but would be disruptive to our walk in Christ. Therefore, our great God will not tempt us. He will not put obstacles in our way that prevent us from eternity with Him. We must, if we have not, develop a mindset that says, for God I live and for God I die. A mindset that says, Lord, even if you don't do what I want, I'll yet hold the standard of holiness. Come on and shout hallelujah. And so we'll come back to those verses that we read, but quickly in Habakkuk, the second chapter, verse 2, it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. The word of God is pure, it's plain, and it's simple if we allow it to be. The complexities that exist are usually that gray matter that's between our two ears. We make things more complex than they ought to be because we start overanalyzing. We ask questions that muddy the waters. Instead of taking God at His word, we try to mold the word of God into what we want it to be. And in the process of doing that, we mess up our simplicity that we have had in Christ Jesus. We start making ourselves believe that the Lord will operate in a way that we determine, in a way that we dictate, as opposed to how God has ordered His own steps. Come on, somebody in this place. We've got so many false doctrines out here, false ministries, that are basically telling you that you are your own God. They don't use those words, but they are empowering you in your own thought process rather than empowering you by the Spirit of God, empowering you by the Word of God. They are telling you that your own thoughts are the process that you run by. Your own thoughts and desires are the things that the genie in the bottle that you now call God will do for you. But we've got to understand that God has established His way, and His way is going to be the way no matter how many different doctrines we set up in our own minds. Amen. Verse 3 says, the vision, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And so I like talking about this specific verse sometimes to people in regular conversation, because people like to say that the Bible contradicts itself. Number one, you can't say the Bible contradicts itself unless you read it from cover to cover and you study out these contradictory concepts that you believe is in there. And once you study those things out, you will find out it did not contradict itself. It affirmed itself. It confirmed itself. It validated itself as opposed to contradict itself. Now, in this verse, it looks contradictory because it says it will not tarry. And then at the end, it says, though it tarry. Now, wait a minute. Tarry means wait. So it says it will not wait. It will not take long. It will not. In other words, God has an appointed time for that thing to happen. But in your mind, in my mind, and the concept of time that we understand, it seems like it's taking a long time. So I'm waiting for it, but God has already established it for a specific time. So it ain't waiting. It's there for you to arrive at that point to receive it. Amen? And so the vision is for an appointed time, but we become impatient. We don't like the appointed time, so we're going to establish our own date. We're going to up the time frame, even though God has not done it yet. So God, I want this specific car, but since it has not come to fruition yet, I'm going to take tithe money and offering money. I'm going to lie, steal, cheat, lie on the application, on the credit application. I'm going to do whatever I can to get this car because I want it now. Y'all see that commercial? It's my money and I want it now. Has anyone in here ever read the essay called The Microwave Society? Anybody? Back in the 80s, I think that was a big essay that discussed how that we have gone into an era where we want everything right now. We can't wait for anything. So it discusses how that there was a time that people cooked on a wood stove and the preparation time was great in preparing a meal, all the things you had to do to prepare a meal. But we went from that and all of a sudden in the 50s, we had what you call TV dinners. But even the TV dinners had to be put in the oven and stay in the oven for 20 to 30 minutes. And in some cases, depending on what it was, 40 minutes. So you still had to wait, but it was a lot better than all the preparation time that took place the other way of cooking. Then microwaves came out, and all we have to do is slide something in the microwave, beep, beep, beep. Why does this thing require so many beeps? How come I can't just beep it one time and it do what I tell it? That's how fast we want it now. But we got the microwave and we just beep it three or four times to tell it how long, and our food comes out piping hot in about anywhere from a minute to 5 minutes. And because of technology, the mindset that we have is telling us everything ought to be right now. We even have preachers who are willing to tell you that everything is right now. They even take the word in the book of what is it, Hebrews 12th chapter, now faith. They tell you the word now means it happens right now. Well, in your mind, you can believe right now, but you may have to wait another 10 days, another year. Another 2 years. And they don't tell you that that is a connecting word that connects to the 11th chapter so that you know it's all one reading to let you know how the mind of God is working. But they tell you because they want to draw your intellectual attention, your fleshly attention, and they tell you God operates right now. Well, God operates in the now, and he has an appointed time that he has set, and that appointed time is the appointed time, and if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll arrive at that appointed time. When they tell you that your plane is going out at 2:40 p.m. this evening, and you need to be there an hour ahead of time, you get there an hour ahead of time, and if you're sitting down at 2 o'clock out there waiting at the gate, you're not looking at your watch saying, how come they not letting me through? Why? Because your time is 2:40 p.m. You not going up to the desk saying, how come this plane is not here at 2 o'clock? I'm ready to go right now. I'm antsy, I'm anxious, I'm ready to go. You don't do that because why? You know the appointed time. God has an appointed time for us, people of God. And if he does not come when we want him, what does the song say? You can trust that he is always right on time. Amen. So if it isn't what you want and when you want, rest assured that you are still required to serve the Lord. All right, I got to keep on moving here. The next verse said, behold, his soul which is lifted up in him is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. The faith in knowing that God will take care of every requirement in my life. I'm not going to step outside the standard of holiness because God didn't do what I wanted him to do physically before my eyes. I have to have enough faith to know that if this is something that I ask the Lord that he wants to do for me, he has an appointed time for it, and I'm going to have enough faith to believe that God will not withhold any good thing from me. So I'm not going to operate outside the standards of holiness just because it don't look like it the way I want it to look like. So if not, God, I'm still going to serve you. If you don't do it the way I want you to do it, Lord, I'm still going to serve you. If I asked you for 100 grand and you only gave me 500, Lord, I'm still going to serve you. I bet you if I asked everybody in here, everybody's hand would go up if I said, have you asked the Lord for something that he hadn't done yet? Let me see the hands. Have you asked the Lord for something that he hasn't done yet? Now put your hands down. I'm going to tell you right now, if you ask anything in his name, it shall be done.
Amen.
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 That means that when we are spiritual enough to come before a spiritual God to ask for spiritual things, things that are in his will, God shall do it. In other words, he's already done it. You just waiting to see it. So it doesn't mean that God hasn't done it. God has done it. We just wait to arrive at that appointed time. Amen. Amen. If it's in his will. And you got to remember if it's in his will. So in other words, you like that woman's husband and you praying for God to give him to you. You praying outside of God's will and you can live to be as old as Methuselah. That ain't gonna happen. And if it happens, it ain't because the Lord did it. It's because you did some things and made it happen. But that ain't a God thing. I prayed for that man, and here he is right here. He broke down and out of his mind. He don't know where he is half the time, but I got him. I told the Lord I wanted him, and here he is right here. Here, baby, your name is Johnny. You all right? Here, wipe that drool off of you. See, sometimes we want stuff because we want it, and we are not accepting what God has for us, and then when we get what we want, it don't work right. Outside the will of God, it won't work right. All right, I got to move on. I wish I had time to get into all these verses the right way. In 2 Corinthians 12:8, it says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When you learn that you don't have the power, when you learn that you can't manipulate God, when you learn that you just gonna have to rest and let it be, when you learn to have faith that God is doing everything the right way, that's when you're strong. When you learn to quit maneuvering and manipulating and conniving in order to make things work, that's when you're strong. Weakness is revealed in our own fleshly devices and the things that we want to do where we're trying to make it happen. That reveals weakness, spiritual weakness. Fleshly speaking, folks say, that's a strong individual right there. They see what they want and they go after it. Well, there's nothing wrong with going after something, because many a times you are the vehicle that God uses to perform what you want. But make sure that you're operating not just in dunamis, but exousia. In other words, operate not just out of the strength that you have inherently, but operate out of the permission that God has given you to use that inherent strength.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So listen, we want to be strong saints. We don't want to be weak saints. We want to operate inside the will of God. Amen. And we see in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, he said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We have to live by faith. We've got to be strong enough to let there be a peace in us that passeth all understanding. In other words, beyond my intellectual comprehension, beyond my ability of drawing on my experiences, what my past, what my future goals are, all the things that I've incorporated in order to have a vision of what I want, I've got to be able to look beyond that and believe what God is doing, and I've got to be able to have peace even though I can't see him moving the chess pieces on the board. Y'all know how we like to be informed. Lord, show me that you're doing this for me. Have y'all ever done that with the Lord? Lord, I want to see it being done. Lord, I need some kind of confirmation, Lord. Call somebody to tell me what's going on. And then you start getting answers. He must not be doing it. He must not want to do what I want him to do. Don't worry about it. If it's meant for you, it's going to be done. And if he does not do it, that means that it wasn't in his will. And his will is for you to have eternal life with him. And so if it's something that's going to pull you out of his will to live eternally with him, he is not going to put that in your way. You might put it in your way, but he won't.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many things over the decades I've seen people blame the Lord for. I say blame because they get up testifying, "The Lord did this and the Lord did that." The Lord didn't tell that lie on that application.
Amen.
The Lord wasn't manipulating people by whispering in this ear and whispering in that ear to bring about what you wanted on the job.
Amen.
You wanted that promotion, so you made sure that other people were looked at in a bad way. The Lord didn't do that. Don't blame that on God. You did that. Tell the people you did it, so when it falls flat, everybody will know, well, you did what you did, and that's why it fell flat.
Amen.
Y'all are making me laugh, because when word go forth, see, we so accustomed, y'all are blessed here at Mount Calvary, and there's a quite a few other churches too where they're really blessed, where the ministry is interested in giving you real word and not interested in making you feel like as soon as you walk out the double doors that you're going to walk into $1 million. So I'm so glad to let you know that God wants you to have eternal life. And when you go up on those translucent streets of gold and you have that mansion with your name on it, amen, when you are able to identify gemstones that you ain't never seen down here, you're going to be awful happy that the preacher wasn't preaching temporal wealth to you.
Amen.
Come on and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 38 and 39, it says, "For I am persuaded." How many of you are persuaded?
Amen.
We got any persuaded folks in here? Now, persuaded can't just be, "I'm persuaded to go to church on Sunday." Because I'm going to tell you the truth, if you persuaded Monday through Saturday to live for the Lord, I ain't worried about whether I'm going to see you or not on Sunday.
Amen.
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 I am persuaded that no matter how bad I feel, and no matter how much I don't want to hear that tall guy talking about the Lord, I'm going to church anyway. No, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is talking about a relationship. I'm not going to let anything get in between me in God. Nothing is going to sever my ties with eternity. Nothing is going to sever ties with the Word of God. Nothing is going to destruct or destroy or distract me from serving the Lord. Amen? And so too many of us are allowing distractions, and we don't even realize that we are allowing distractions. I want to encourage you to go to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. You see it all the time when people preach at funerals, but we don't have time today to get to it because we got to get back to verses 17 and 18 of Daniel, the 3rd chapter. In this chapter, we will see some tattletales. If you go back and you read it, you know, when you're serving the Lord, that means there are things you don't do like everybody else. Amen. People on your job do things a certain way. When I used to be a food and beverage manager, a lot of times if you went out to the pubs and to the bars with the other managers, some of the members might be there, and you glean information that might be able to elevate you in your craft, in your profession. But I didn't go to the pubs and to the bars. Come on, somebody in this place. I was different from them. I'm a manager, and I'm operating in integrity. I have the standard of holiness upon me, regardless of what my job title is. But just because I might stand to be elevated by going out to the pubs and to the bars with folk, I'll take my chances where I am. I'm 20 years removed from that profession, and I still have people calling me and asking me to work back in that profession with money that's grossly higher than what it used to be. But guess what? My God is a promoter. My God is the one that will let you be seen by the King's heart. Amen. You'll be in the King's heart, and you'll have favor.
Amen.
Amen. So listen. They went and tattletale on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, talking about them Hebrew boys. They are not serving your gods. They won't bow down to the music. They're not doing nothing that you said, O king. And then the king, y'all remember how some folk used to do Bishop Taylor back in the day? Make him mad, Bishop Taylor go to walking off like this. Y'all remember he'd walk like that, he'd be mad. Sister Pat, remember, he'd have boots on and walking fast to settle whatever the situation was. And that's what they did. They riled him up, and then suddenly the king wanted to go see to this matter. And the king is like, do you understand what the repercussions are if you don't do what my order is? How many of us are really ready to say that we are persuaded or that we are determined? How many of us are ready to say, regardless of what you are saying in the world, if I can't get what I want, if all kind of destruction is ready to befall me, I'm still going to serve the Lord. Are we ready to say that, or are we just making mouth movement?
Amen.
They tattletale. The king came and said, you're going to have to suffer a big penalty if you don't do what we said to do. Some of us can't even take somebody frowning at us. They frowned at me. We didn't become so soft. They frowned at me. So maybe I ought not to talk about the glory of my God, because they all frowned up and their feelings are hurt. Well, my feelings are hurt when I hear them using profanity. I got to get on the elevator with somebody reeking of, you know, alcohol or weed or cigarette smoke. But don't nobody care about me. I have to go into supermarkets, and it sounds like a club in there. You almost feel like walking in like, because it's like a club. The music is jamming through the speakers. Don't nobody care about me. Why am I so upset that they don't want to hear about my God? Because they don't care whether I'm upset or not. Amen. And I know I'm doing the right thing. How many of y'all, tell the truth, you've been somewhere and you still got that African jungle beat in you? You just standing up there ordering a burger. Next thing you know, your body kind of want to twitch. You still got it in you. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, Lord have mercy, I'm holy. All you did was twitch, but that beat got to you. They put that bass line in there, and all of a sudden you remember the band days. And you think you're back in the old days again. Y'all, we got a light lot that we're fighting against, amen, in our flesh, in our minds.
Amen.
And we got to make sure we hold him no matter what. So we get to this point, the king is threatening them, and here is the response that we all must have. The Hebrew boy said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Somebody say, he's able. You always have to know that your God is able, but just because he's able to do what you've imagined in your mind does not mean that he will do it.
Amen.
I'm going to say it on a lower scale. Just because he's able to do what you imagine in your mind does not mean that he will do it. But God is a deliverer, and he delivers according to his power, according to his way, and not according always to the way we think. Now, if we're very spiritual, sometimes we can foresee how God is going to do it. But oftentimes when we are struggling with whatever we're struggling with in life, whatever we are going through, we are not able to see things the way we want to see it. We can see it on other folk, but when we are dealing with it personally, our emotions are involved. And because our emotions get involved, we can't see things for ourselves sometimes the way we can for somebody else. We don't have the clarity of mind that we do when we're dealing with somebody else, but what we do have is the peace of God and faith in God that he will deliver. We just don't know how.
Amen.
We might have a few cobwebs going. Somebody said, but you say, what about cobwebs? Well, go to 2 Corinthians 4th chapter and starting at around about the 7th verse and tell me that you don't have cobwebs sometimes. Amen. We're troubled on every side. I'm trying to remember what the rest of it is, but one of the phrases mean that you don't know what's going to happen. You can't foresee. Why is it that as saints of God, we allow the world to put us in a position to feel like we should know the answer to everything? We don't know the answer to everything. I'm still trying to figure out my next two steps. How are you going to have me trying to predict your life the next 10 years? Because they've seen too many false, wicked people in pulpits, and they think it's a magic show. This ain't no magic show. This is a live right show. This is a change of lifestyle show. This is a holiness show. And I'm going to tell you something, no matter how much I confront right now and have victory over, when I take that next step, there's something there that's coming against me. So I ain't got time to fool with your next 10 years in life. I got to deal with my next two steps. Amen.
Amen.
Quit trying to judge somebody else's situation. You got too much in front of you to deal with.
Amen.
And as a pastor, when I counsel you, I moved out of the way and God steps in. So therefore, I am still where I need to be.
Amen.
Dealing with my own footsteps because God steps in and deals with it. Now, they say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And one thing be assured of, King, he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, somebody say, if not.
If not.
Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I'm here to ask the question today is, how many of us have already been saying, if not? How many of us are prepared to say, if not, I am still going to serve the Lord? Even if you are trying to punish me, even if you are making laws that specifically against my worshiping of God, even if you do these things, I'm still going to do it anyway because the law of God authorizes me above the law of man, and I would rather please God than to please man. Come on, somebody in this place. We've got to have our minds made up where we're ready to tell the Lord, not just people during testimony service, and not just the friends that we have in Christ that easily receive what we have to say, but we've got to be ready to tell the adversary himself that I will not serve anything else, anybody else but my God. I'm a praiser and worshiper of the Most High God. I praise the name of Jesus. I'm a holy liver. I have a lifestyle lifestyle that is separated from the things of the world. So when you tell me the only way I can get what this is and that is to do the things of the flesh, to do the things of the world, I'm telling you right now, even if not, if you don't want to do for me, if not, I can't have the things that you are talking about, I'm still going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
We all want the higher things in life. I don't care who we are. You think Peter and James and John didn't want some better things in life than what they had? But they had an obligation to serve the Lord. It doesn't mean that we take a vow of poverty. There's plenty of saved folk who have a lot. But have a lot because the Lord gave it to you. Have a lot because you waited patiently for the Lord to give it to you. Have a lot because the Lord directed you by His Spirit to go and get the thing that He intended for you. Have a lot because it was the blessing of the Lord. But don't have a lot because you went outside the will of God to get it. When Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted, that was the reason why He went. The adversary said, "If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And this is the mindset, and this is false ministry all over the world that's telling you if you're really a child of God, you can command these things to exist. You can command God to do things that need to be done or that you want done for you, but you need to know the Word of God like Jesus. When Jesus was God manifested in the flesh using the Word of God, how do we get by not using the Word of God? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we've got to understand, I'm not here to deal with the adversary and what he wants to do for me, his promises for me, or to act like him so I can get fleshly things. I'm here to serve the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If I'm not delivered, I'm still going to serve the Lord. My body keep doing things to me that at 25, I never thought a body could do to you. We got any witnesses in here? Kiara came to see about me today because my equilibrium was off. I can't hear out of this ear. So when Elder Campbell was praying, the volume of the speaker was throwing me off. So I had to get behind the speaker because I was about to fall down. Y'all, at 25, I'd have never thought there was any day that I'd stand on these two long skis of mine and have any chance of falling down. Amen. I'd have never thought that I can't hear out of one ear. I'd have never thought I'd be waking up in the middle of the night, many nights with back pain and can't get to sleep. I'd have never thought that exhorting and preaching that I would have to stop and slow down because my body won't let me. But even if I don't enjoy the best of health, come on, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. There's other things if I started saying, y'all be like, "Oh, pastor is really messed up." Look, we all are dealing with some stuff. We all going through some things. Some of it is just natural. We got an expiration date on us, and some of it is just natural stuff that culminates, and other stuff because we don't take care of ourselves like we should. But y'all say, "I don't take care of myself like I should." If I avoid that chocolate and potato chips, I might be feeling a little bit better.
Amen.
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 If I avoid those fried foods and those creamy things that cover the food, I might feel a little bit better.
Amen.
But here's the thing. Even if I can't enjoy the premier things of life that I want to enjoy, I'm still going to serve the Lord. Are you here today and ready to tell the Lord, "I'm going to serve you no matter what"? I'm not coming to you, Lord, to try to make you the genie in the bottle so I can rub the side of the bottle to get you to pop out and fulfill my wishes. God ain't no three wish God. We don't have coins that we flip into the God wish well. Amen. But God is here to give us the most wealth that mankind cannot comprehend, which is eternal life.
Hallelujah.
And along the way, we get to pick up a few things. Y'all, can I tell y'all something? As a kid, I didn't really know about family life. I didn't understand the joy of family. It takes too long to explain why. But once First Lady and I were married and some time passed by, I tell you, what you pick up along the way on your way to heaven, there's a lot of really, really good things if you stop and look at it. And the ability to have family, the love of family. Look here, you could be poor, broke in a wet ditch, but you got the love of family, you still got some peace in your heart. You hear what I'm saying? Y'all, we get to pick up some things along the way. Look here, heaven is everything. And if you don't get a lot of stuff that you desire, that's okay, but you are gonna pick some things up along the way that are very precious. And you should thank God for them, and you should appreciate God for them, and not just concentrate on the things that, Lord, I've been begging you and begging you and begging you. Well, you know what? God does give an answer. He gave it to Paul, and Paul said, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient unto thee. In other words, I ain't doing it. And you need to live holy. And act just like you've been acting. Don't put your head down. Don't get all messed up. Don't go around complaining that I said no. You know how kids act. They go sit down, act like they don't hear you when you say wash the dishes or something like that, because they're still mad, fuming, that you said no as a parent. If you start acting like that with God, what if he just decided to strip you of breath for 1 minute? You know, I'm providing breath for you. What if every parent, every time the children become insolent like that, just put the kids on the outside? All right, just go on outside. Stay out there. How would y'all like that, Nathan, Bill? Just go on outside. Get out of my air conditioning. You don't want to do what I said? Get out of my air conditioning. I pay for this air. God gave me the money to pay for this air. So you go on and sit out there for an hour and a half and think about yourself. After an hour and a half, you come back in. Oh, you still got a little attitude there, huh? We're just going right back outside and sit on that hot concrete and think about how you're thinking. What if God did that to us? Look here, let's be thankful for what we have and stop concentrating on things that we don't have and concentrate on what the Lord has given us and how precious it is, and magnify the Lord and glorify the Lord for it. And when you're thanking him for those things begin to multiply.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If you're here today, come on, altar workers. If you're here today, come on. The Lord wants you to be saved. He don't want you sitting in the sin that you're in. Amen. He don't want you sitting in depression. He don't want you not having a life.